The following program is a sports handicapping show. That's right, we will be discussing sports betting and all kinds of other gambling stuff, including game predictions. As you know, not every bet will win, but we do our best. Feel free to use this information at your own risk, and remember, wager wisely, folks. Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day! And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's a Wednesday in Sin City. Time to roll up our sleeves and get to work because you are watching Vegas Sports Day, the pulse of the sports betting world. I'm your host, Teddy Covers, joined, as always, by my colleague, the professor, Dave Malinsky.
Coming up today, we're going to show you the best pit stops on the information superhighway, how one NBA team may finally be playing the kind of basketball on the court that matches what it says on their uniforms, and can we make a little money tonight out of a unique situation and where we have Pacers playing Pacers? We'll be getting to that soon.
Dave, first take on a Wednesday. Lots of intriguing actions on the hardwood last night. I know, for Valentine's Day, you were chilling out at home. Good stuff. What'd you see that you want to share with our viewing audience?
Nothing like a good international relationship. And there really isn't, if you can maintain it well. We got to talk Jeremy Lin, not to talk about his numbers at all, not to talk about the way the Knicks played, but something that we think does matter going forward. And did this intentionally with the television setup last night. 4 minutes left in that game in Toronto. Once the Knicks got back in the game, had to make that the television with the sound because something happened that we kind of projected might. Last couple minutes of that game, you couldn't tell where it was being played. That's likely to happen for a lot of New York road games because if you've been watching the NBA a lot this year, you know that tickets are much easier to come by than they used to be. When you go to Chicago, there aren't going to be any tickets. You go play the Lakers, there aren't going to be any tickets. But watch the Knicks in some of these other road games. That home court advantage, you might want to take a point and a half off of. Going to be a lot of pro-Lin sentiment in those settings. There certainly was last night. Well, you look refreshed off of Valentine's Day. What do you bring in on a beautiful Wednesday?
Well, I want to talk about what happens on nights where life happens. As a handicapper, there are times that life is going to happen. It's going to be Valentine's Day. You got to take your girl out. Your mom's going to come to town. You have a wedding or a funeral or whatever that comes into play. Things can and will happen inevitably over the course of any season that are going to cause you to differentiate from your normal rhythm and routine. So how do I handle it on a night like last night where I know I'm going to be getting home late, I'm not going to get some of my prep work done? What do you do? How does a pro approach games and times where, yeah, guess what? Some of the workload is not going to get done, some of the normal workload. This is how I handle it. You know, if I come back, that's last night, you know, back home, it was 10:30 at night, I sit down in front of the computer. The thing that I try to focus on is looking forward, looking at the next day's game. So I'm going to go through my normal process for the following day's games. We were able to do that last night before we went to bed. You know, yeah, sure, took some time. You have a choice between doing it late at night or doing it first thing in the morning. You can set the alarm real early. Last night I just chose to do it late. What you don't do in these instances is go through every box score of the game that were played that evening. That's something that I can catch up on tonight. I can catch up on before teams play again. But in order to maintain that rhythm, maintain that work ethic, you want to make sure you're always looking forward, even when life gets in the way. All right, let's go to the mailbag. Dave, we've been getting great email questions all week long, and another good one here from Walid. He says, hey guys, first and foremost, I would just like to say I enjoy the show and the information that it provides me. The show led me to work a little harder doing my grunt work, which has led me to media notes available for NBA games that has provided me with useful info that has led to quite a profitable week. I was wondering if any of you guys subscribe to services like Sports Insights. Do you feel services like this provide a worthy edge comparable to the monetary investment? And last but not least, Where do you guys go for injury and daily lineup info? Great question. Dave, we got an answer for him?
We could probably do a whole show on this, on the information that's available out there. First, let's reference something that he put in his question. For those of you who might not know about it, you can get the full media kit for every NBA game for free off of NBA.com. Go to the individual team sites, click game notes. You can get that nice little 40-page packet for every game. Now, it's not that there's going to necessarily be new stuff there that you wouldn't know, not earth-shattering, but it's a great resource if you need to go look something up, particular players versus particular teams, every stat imaginable. And remember, a lot of these media people sort of earn their keep by being inventive with some of their numbers. So it's a good, and naturally, you're not going to have time to do it, to go through those 40 or 50 pages every day. That's an invaluable source. In terms of the other information, you might want to start with the baseline first. You know, places like covers.com, ESPN.com, Sporting News, Sports Illustrated, that's going to give you all of the big news that's out there. And then usually what we'll do, once we find the big news, we'll go to a more localized take to get what we think is going to be closer to the truth. So if something's happening in Indianapolis, go to the Indianapolis Star. Read the newspaper accounts, because those writers know the players and the coaches better. They can get closer to the truth of a situation. And also there's the reverse. The coaches and players know the writer better. They're going to know what he's going to write, what he's not going to write, maybe be more candid with him than they would to a national media member. So there are several good links to national newspaper sites. Those are invaluable.
Yeah, in fact, many times you can find articles on the teams that are playing right from the covers matchup pages. If you want a place to start, of course, Google's a pretty good tool, or Bing, or whatever search engine you like to use. I'm going to talk about line services for a moment, because you asked your question about Sports Insights. And frankly, line services has a lot to do, in my mind, with two basic issues. One, how much you're betting. Two, how many outs you have. If you have one local bookie, and you're betting $50 a game, it doesn't make sense to subscribe to a line service. If you have multiple outs, and you have the ability to shop for the best line, and you're betting, I would say, what, 500 a game or more, then all of a sudden, line services become not just something you kind of want, something you must have. You can start something like the Covers Odds Tracker. If you just want to check it out, that's a great bargain basement price to get in and see what a line service has to offer. I personally use Sports Options. That's been a fantastic line service for me over the years. And again, with something like Sports Options, I'm getting many, many sports book lines, first half lines, game lines, money lines, all there on one screen. So it's very easy for me to track what's happening. And frankly, I can't exist without it. If my Sports Options goes dead for a day, I start to freak out. It doesn't happen. So when you're discussing or debating internally, do I want a line service or not? If you have multiple outs and you're betting nickels, you need a line service, plain and simple.
Much like for players and coaches and teams, we have power ratings, of course, for the media people. So when we talk about these local newspapers, there are a lot of writers who are really good out there, and obviously some that aren't. And one of the reasons why we brought this letter in today is we get the news that we're going to lose one of the guys we like an awful lot, Bob Ryan from Boston. You probably see him on TV a lot, does a lot of ESPN things. He's going to be retiring after the Olympics coverage this year. That's kind of a shame because we got some real good insights out of him. Again, when these guys follow the teams every day, they see things that aren't in the box scores. They see scores that got produced by certain sequences of events that we might not have been able to see otherwise. There are some good guys out there that we've really liked through the years. Bob Ryan was one. We're certainly going to miss him. Over time, we'll point out some of the better people out there. But how about this? What we'll do for you is when we get to March, get into the latter weeks of the NCAA tournament, we'll set up baseball from ground zero, say, here are the sites to go to. Here are some of the writers we like. And even things like lineups, you don't have to pay an odd service for when it comes to baseball. MLB.com and several other sites do post the lineups as they get available about an hour or so before game time. So we'll set specifically baseball up for you from ground zero.
Great question, Waleed. Thank you for sending it in. And please keep those emails coming. The address, of course, sportsday@covers.com. We answer emails on a daily basis here on the show. Remember, it's your show, and we're going to cater to what you want to see and the questions you want answered. So send them in, sportsday@covers.com. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter and ask us questions in 140 characters or less at Vegas Sports Day. And you can get involved in the Covers.com community. Great place to spend an afternoon. Covers.com/posting forum.
Today was one of those prime days where you wanted a line service or access to a lot of information. There's plenty going on in tonight's NBA. That means it's time for an Insider Six Pack. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
Are you looking for the latest odds, the fastest scores, the most important trends, and the best matchups and stats? Are you looking for the key late-breaking information that can make you a winner? Well, Covers.com has the answer. The world's largest sports betting community gives you a front-row seat in the heart of the action, from the opening lines to the final scores. If you want to stay ahead of the game, Covers covers the numbers.
Let me know when I'm live. Hi, everybody. This is Bridget Magnus of Getting Real Estate in Vegas, and you are watching the Vegas Video Network.
Yeah, let's pop the top on today's Insider Six Pack. Let's start in the NBA with the Boston Celtics. And just when it looked like the Celtics were finally getting back to health, and in a pretty good playing rhythm as well. Now it looks like we got more curveballs for Doc Rivers and the Celtics brass. Kevin Garnett, the only Celtics player to appear in all 27 games so far this season, but he suffered a hip flexor versus Chicago on Sunday. The official listing, according to my Sports Options Live odd screen, says that he is probable, but when you see this quote from Doc Rivers, maybe not so sure that Garnett gets in the lineup tonight. Rivers says, quote, "It's nothing bad with Kevin, but Eddie," that's trainer Eddie Lacerte, "suggested 2 days off, and then he said today maybe even 3 days off." So not convinced we're going to see Garnett in the lineup tonight. Complicating matters for Boston this evening is that they're also playing without Brandon Bass, who has been an absolute impact player for them coming off the bench so far this season. He may not return until after the All-Star break, the type of player that can have an impact on floor results without having an impact on the point spread. That leaves Boston very, very thin up front. We could see Juwan Johnson getting ample time tonight. We could see Greg Stemsa getting ample time tonight. And not necessarily two guys who the Celtics are looking to give substantial minutes to at this time of the season. Boston could, however, get Jermaine O'Neal back on the court this evening. He's missed the last couple of games with both shoulder and knee injuries. He did make it through a full practice yesterday and could well suit up and be on the floor for Doc Rivers this evening.
On yesterday's show, we talked about Frank Vogel, the Indiana coach, having to deal with his first 3-3 and how he planned to manage the minutes of his players through the cycle. Well, one of his decisions got made for him. Danny Granger, injured against Miami last night, won't play for the Pacers at Cleveland tonight. Big issues on the Cleveland side, though. We believe Kyrie Irving comes back. He's missed the last three games. Comes down to whether the NBA clears him this afternoon, but if we take this from Byron Scott, we have to believe that that's going to happen. Scott's quote, "He went through everything today, full contact, full practice. He looked pretty good, but we still have to wait on NBA protocol to find out exactly when he can play. The final stuff for us was just seeing him out on the floor." When he talks about the NBA protocol, Irving, of course, missed the last three games because of a concussion. But here was the upside of losing Irving for three games. One of the things they were concerned about is playing him too many minutes at the age of 19 in a condensed schedule. They wanted to see if they could get some backups behind him. Look at Ramon Sessions, the three games that Irving missed. 55 points, 37 assists. Yet not easy to get 37 assists in three games with that Cleveland lineup. Sessions played terrific basketball. Those three games also marked the first time Daniel Gibson was back on the court. Gibson, 14 points per game, 14 rebounds, 13 assists combined in those three. Good showing out of him. What once looked like a thin backcourt actually is one with a lot of depth now. So don't be surprised maybe to see Cleveland begin pushing the pace a little bit with this group. They sort of have to. Without Anderson Varejao, you're certainly not going to win games with your defense.
We've talked since day one this NBA season about not carrying over many past trends into the current campaign because of such an unusual scheduling layout. But there is one pattern that developed last year that has definitely carried over and is showing signs of really holding up again in the 2012 season. That trend? The Memphis Grizzlies on the second night of back-to-backs. How about this against the point spread? 20 wins, 5 losses, 1 push over the last 2 seasons on the second night of back-to-backs. That is certainly a track record with a big enough sample size to be aware of. And it makes us wonder if tonight's setting is made to look worse than it is for the Grizzlies. Memphis, of course, traveling off of last night's home win over Houston, while New Jersey has been off since Saturday. Now, the Nets got some badly needed practice time, and really badly needed if you watch the Nets play in recent weeks. And, you know, spirits definitely buoyed by the return of Brook Lopez to the practice floor. He's not likely to see the real court until this weekend at the earliest, but a positive sign for the Nets in terms of energy and some type of momentum moving forward. Deshaun Stevenson also returned to practice during this span, but Marshawn Brooks, Mehmet Okur remain out. Sean Williams missed practice with a sprained left shoulder. He's downgraded to doubtful so far this morning. So even though the Nets have spent this extra time practicing, they're not healthy, and there's not much of a chance for Avery Johnson to be developing any kind of real chemistry with this mismatched group this season.
DJ Augustine returns for the Bobcats tonight. Don't yawn, which ordinarily you might do for a guy like DJ Augustine. And it's not that he's that special of a player. It's that they simply had no way to replace him. And gosh, were they bad without him. I mean, historically, historically bad. Since he went down with that injury early in the game against New Jersey on January 22nd, 0-12 straight up, 2-10 against the spread, 7 of the losses by 17 points or more, they averaged 80.3 points per game. That is historic for a team to only average 80 over 12 games. Now he comes back so they can start to pick up the pace a little bit, but a lot of chemistry issues. Remember that part of that 0-12 stretch, not only him being out, also Corey Maggette, also Gerald Henderson. Now Maggette has returned. So you're going to get Augustine and Maggette back on the court for the first time since January the 4th, and Augustine and Reggie Williams together on the court for the first time all season. Yeah, they're still going to be a mess, still a lot of chemistry issues, but at least look for a little more life and energy from the Bobcats in the days ahead.
If it's what's up front that counts, well, there's not a lot to be counting on for the Denver Nuggets right now. What was formerly a very strong rotation has been decimated, absolutely decimated with injuries in recent weeks. You know, this front line, Nene, Timothy Mozgov, Danilo Gallinari, real strong unit, but guess what? All three starters missing tonight as they head to Dallas. Last night's starters up front, Corey Brewer. All right, he's a decent player. We wouldn't mind him coming off the bench. Kenneth Faried, second year out of Morehead State, hasn't really made any impact on the NBA level just yet. And Costa Kufos, a guy who now in his fifth year out of Ohio State, he's never played in more than 48 games in a season. He's never averaged more than 11 minutes per game in any season. Now Kufos, Faried, and Brewer forced to start up front for George Karl and company. And, of course, last night's game, the first time that trio has ever started together on an NBA floor. Now, probably not any bells or whistles going off in your head when you look at the final score of last night's game, 109-92, Denver with a nice bounce-back win over Phoenix, with that group on the floor. But perhaps there should be at least a little something going off, because that win may have told us a lot more about how Phoenix is approaching things than Denver is right now. And that, of course, Dave, leads into your next take.
Yeah, if you were out with your sweetheart on Valentine's and you weren't following the games closely, you might look at that box score and think, okay, Denver was fine. No, Phoenix didn't play last night. Not at all. Steve Nash, Grant Hill, they were both held out. Alvin Gentry was facing a 3-games-in-3-days situation with the altitude at Denver for the middle game. Just no, not just going to play them at all. His take on that, they're run down. I just don't feel that it's necessary to stick them out there with the possibility of an injury or something. They played a lot of minutes. We've asked Grant to do a lot of things defensively, and obviously, we've asked Steve to do a lot of things offensively. Well, that's what happens when Grant Hill is 39, Steve Nash is 38, two of the 5 oldest starters in the NBA that just happen to be with the same team. So not only did they not play, but one thing we've noticed when Nash doesn't play for the Suns, he's kind of a coach on the court. When he's not out there, the other guys don't feel they have to play as hard. Keeping in mind that you're getting to the point where Hill and Nash are old enough for some of these guys, you know, to have actually been their sons. You know, you hate to think of it that way, but that's actually the truth. Kyrie Irving is 19. He could be the son of either one of those two. They will return tonight against Atlanta. Obviously, they will return much fresher. Interesting scenario because they beat Atlanta by 9 on the road last week, led by as many as 20 in the fourth quarter, including beating the Hawks by 10 on the boards.
Up next, we're going to head to the NBA on Wednesday night as Money Time begins.
No pressure. Hi, I'm Dennis Silvers from, can't think of the name on my damn show, Golf and Other Four-Letter Words, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network, I think.
Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Okay, guys. It's money time. This edition of Money Time is brought to you by Covers.com. Remember, for all the key information you need in every sport, Covers covers the numbers. Let's go to Orlando, where tonight the Magic 3-point home favorites against the Philadelphia 76ers. And these two teams met a couple of weeks ago. It was a very frustrating result for myself that evening. I had a ticket on Philly. Orlando was held below 50 points for the first 42 minutes of that game. And then all of a sudden, down by 10 in the final minute, Stan Van Gundy decides, oh, well, I want to teach my team a lesson. We're going to compete right to the final buzzer. And, of course, the last shot before the final buzzer was a J.J. Redick 3-pointer to cover the number. Final score, Sixers 74, Magic 69. It was a game Philly absolutely dominated, even though they didn't play particularly well on that night, obviously scoring only 74 points. I mean, really, a unique level of futility for both teams in that game. You know, it was a 19-point lead for the Sixers with less than 6 minutes to play before a 20-6 run out for the Magic in that closing stretch. And we talk about this unique level of futility. Even at the free throw line, these two teams couldn't hit a shot. Combined 20 of 41 from the charity stripe. Of course, there was no Jameer Nelson in that game for Orlando. But Dwight Howard, facing a front court, Sixers front court that was without Spencer Hawes and Nikola Vujovic on that particular night, just 6 of 17 from the floor, 5 of 13 from the free throw line, 2 turnovers, no assists, and he was minus 14 in his 36 minutes and 47 seconds of floor time. Tony Battee, Lavoy Allen got ample time in that game. Collins went more than 30% of the game without a number 5, a legitimate center, on the floor to match up against Collins. But Collins definitely seems to have a pretty good idea of how to defend against this Orlando Magic team.
Yeah, we've seen this happen several times already. And one of the things we'll emphasize now with this point is not just tracking how teams do straight up and against the spread against each other, but using head-to-head totals because you can find some windows of opportunity there. Again, like everything else, totals on games are more reliant on overall power ratings than any other factor. That way, a lot of times, there are particular matchups that can be hidden and under the radar screen. This is one of them. Let's take a look at how these games have flowed since Doug Collins took over as the Philadelphia coach. Been 5 head-to-head games against Orlando. All 5 have played under the total by a combined 70.5 PBP, or an average of 15 points per game below the total. What does PBP mean? It's another phrase we're going to want you to get used to. We have 2 of them, PAP, P-A-P, and PBP. PAP is points above projection. PBP is points below projection. The key number in that 5-0 is that they finished 14 points below what the odds makers were projecting. That's significant. If it's a 5-0 and they were all falling pretty close to the number, no, there's no big deal there. If it's that far off, that means Collins does see a way to defend this team, which also means if our starting point is Collins and that Philly defense, which still rates near the top of the league, that means we think one more time they can go in with the right game plan again.
It's worth noting there was a human error on that graphic. I blame myself. It should have read Sixers versus Magic, not Sixers versus Heat. But the bottom line is Doug Collins has had a very good read on how to shut down this Orlando team. But Magic are playing better right now, no question. Excuse me. 3-2 straight up since Jameer Nelson returned to the floor. Both losses came in overtime. One to the Clippers, one to Atlanta, two projected playoff teams. Nelson, 24 assists to only 8 turnovers since his return. And Jason Richardson has really found his game. You know, he had a minor knee injury. Since he came back, he's averaging close to 18 points per game. So the offensive chemistry starting to get better for Orlando after a really rough stretch.
Well, before we do our break push-ups, which comes up for when we botch a graphic, let's head out to the Bay Area for a late-night matchup. We've got Portland traveling to Golden State. Golden State now a 5-point favorite over the Trailblazers, a line you wouldn't have expected to see a couple of weeks ago. We like Portland at the start of the year. We like the chemistry of that group, the way that they were running the floor better with Raymond Felton out there. But we pointed out one issue that they had on one of our first Insider Six-Packs. There wasn't a backup behind Felton. Now, it takes a toll two different ways. One is, of course, your tempo changes when Felton's not on the court. But number two, Felton's minutes have had to grow out there a little bit too far. He's showing signs of wearing down. He's not a 35-minute guy. Now, the longer he plays, the opposition learns how to deal with him. And they're also realizing if we let him shoot instead of penetrate, this is a much easier team to defend. Felton only shooting 37.3% from the field. Last four games, a ratio of 20 assists versus 15 turnovers. That's getting dangerously close to that 50-50 level. Now it gets worse tonight. The second Portland weakness, end game. Because LaMarcus Aldridge was the only go-to player, and it's led to Portland difficulties in close games down the stretch. We don't expect to see Aldridge tonight. Injured early, didn't come back last night. Figures to be out until at least the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Blazers team that only played one game last year without LaMarcus Aldridge, and that came in the season finale when their playoff positioning was all set, just giving them a little rest before the postseason. But to measure Aldridge's impact, let's take a look at how they have fared with him as the go-to guy during crunch time in close games so far. Now, the graphic I'm about to show does not fall in tonight's spread range, but still real food for thought moving forward. It fell into tonight's projected spread range, but betting markets may be making adjustments here that are wholly appropriate. I got to talk about close encounters. Now, close encounters are games with a line of 4 or less, either a plus or a minus, plus 4 to minus 4. And that's a line that gives us, you know, basically these two teams are even home court advantage or less, which means the game should be close. And that late execution is going to matter. So the Blazers, in these close encounters games, they've been disasters. 2-11 straight up, 2-10-1 against the spread on the road, like they are tonight. 0-9 straight up, 0-9 against the spread. This is not a particularly good role for the Portland Trailblazers, one they've struggled with repeatedly so far this season.
We're going to watch tonight, not only to see how Portland plays without Aldridge, but because of the flip side of this equation. Golden State, one of the softest teams in the NBA for a long time, now might actually be playing like Warriors. Mark Jackson wanted to instill this toughness. Maybe one of the best signs we saw was their last game, a victory in which Monte Ellis and Stephen Curry shot 8-for-30 from the field. That couldn't have happened last year. There's no way they win any game when those two shoot 8-for-30. It's because the defense and the depth picked it up. A couple of quotes we want to take away from that, which is why we're going to watch closely tonight. First from Jackson. That's what the good teams do. In spite of having star players not play well, they find a way to win. My reserves scored 38 points. They defended. They changed the tone of the game. And this one from Curry. This just speaks volumes for our defense when our shots aren't falling, especially early. We stayed in the game when we were missing left and right. Little better attitude coming out of Golden State right now. Using the bench a little bit better, playing a little bit of toughness. Yeah, line's just a little bit too rich for our blood this evening. But if we see the right things, they still may be under the radar a little bit in the games ahead.
It's time to head to the best of the Wednesday night college hoops card when Money Time continues right here on Vegas Sports Day.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Come on, Dave. Let's take our talent down to South Beach and talk about tonight's matchup between the surging Miami Hurricanes and the North Carolina Tar Heels. North Carolina, 5.5-point road chalk here. First meeting between these two teams, pretty much dominated by the Tar Heels at home. 73-56, North Carolina won the rebounding battle in that game. They were a plus 17, a 44-27 on the boards, but the Tar Heels did what the Tar Heels do. You know, they forced 17 turnovers with defensive pressure, and they won the battle of the boards. But it was a little bit of a different North Carolina team then. Dexter Strickland and P.J. Harrison combined for 41 minutes. Now, Strickland's out. Harrison got a DNP versus Virginia on Saturday, a question mark here. So Roy Williams may have to take to the road with a very different game plan than the one that North Carolina was able to execute in the first meeting between these two teams.
Yeah, you have to start to wonder about the North Carolina flexibility a little bit because the pieces just aren't there. You know the way Roy Williams wants to play. Run the floor, push the tempo, beat the defense down the field. No one spaces the floor better in the fast break on offense than North Carolina year in and year out. But you can't quite play that way anymore when you're this shorthanded. If Harrison's not there tonight, you're really down to 6, maybe 7 usable players in the rotation. That does take a little bit of a toll. Put us in perspective, let's go and take a look at the last 4 North Carolina games and see how much they've had to rely on the starting 5 for their production. Those last 4 games, the starters played 84.6% of the minutes. They scored 91.5% of the points, grabbed 83.7% of the rebounds. What kind of toll does that take? Okay, when they had that late collapse against Duke last week, on the show we talked about some of the fluky things that had to happen. A couple of bad calls by the officials, inadvertent tip-in by Zeller into his own basket. But also keep in mind that those are the sort of things that can happen when your starters play 175 of the 200 floor minutes in that game. Carolina dominated Miami the first time around. Might not be so one-sided here because Carolina just doesn't have that killer punch they're used to throwing.
I mean, Miami's last win against North Carolina came back in 2006. It's been a while since the Hurricanes were able to upset the Tar Heels. And, of course, they were able to get the win tonight. It will be an upset, not a huge upset, but an upset nonetheless at 5.5-point underdogs. And it's a Miami team, you know, like I said, surging a little bit right now. They did lose to Florida State over the weekend, covered the number in that game, 5-1 straight up, 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 ball games. And, you know, the win at Duke really stands out. Gutty, gritty, overtime win, the type of win that can turn a team's level of confidence from here to here. And we've seen Miami play with that level of confidence in recent games. The question here, in many regards, will come down to the execution of that Miami backcourt. We saw senior Malcolm Grant, junior Durant Scott, a duo that have combined for 161 career starts. They were awful in the first meeting, just 6 of 20 from the floor, 0 of 7 from three-point range. Those two need to turn it around tonight if the Hurricanes are going to have a chance to pull off the upset.
Big local showdown tonight in the good old Mountain West Conference, which is about to become one of these jumbled, amalgamated assortment of letters in the years ahead. Big merger coming up with Conference USA. But New Mexico goes to San Diego State. Right now, the Road Lobos, a one-point favorite. We can take it back to the first go-round between these. It was a play of the day that we had on this show. At a time when we cashed San Diego State a couple of times because the markets had drastically undervalued them. They were actually an 11-point underdog in Albuquerque, won the game outright 75-70. Now, though, as things progress, the markets are getting a little bit closer to evaluating the Aztecs properly. That means you can begin to handicap the games a little bit differently. And there's something about that first meeting. And immediately, what happened afterwards? A trip here to Las Vegas that may have turned the New Mexico season around.
Yeah, let me talk about that first meeting just a little bit, because San Diego State almost had the exact same story this past weekend against UNLV. New Mexico led San Diego State by margin for the first 30 minutes of that ballgame. not say they were in control, but they were in control of the game. And then, all of a sudden, brickfest. I'll give San Diego State credit for stellar defense, but really, New Mexico missed shots, and they missed a bunch of shots throughout the second half of that ballgame, particularly the last 10 minutes, and allowed the Aztecs to make a big run closing out the game to get the straight-up win. San Diego State did the same thing against the Rebels right here in Vegas this past weekend. Trailed by margin at the 30-minute mark, by the 40-minute mark, or by the 39-minute mark, they're right in the game with a chance to win it. Against UNLV, they got the cover, not the win. Against New Mexico, they were able to get both. But the point here is that for extended stretch of these games, San Diego State has been the weaker team. They've just run into opponents that haven't been able to hit big shots during crunch time. You know, so now we've got this New Mexico team. They're going to bring, we talked about revenge, and you don't want to believe revenge too much. This is one game where revenge means something. New Mexico will remember the only home loss they've suffered on their floor at the Pit all season long. It's a New Mexico team that's playing with veteran poise. It's a defense that has been absolutely tenacious. You know, Lobos had that slap in the face moment. They lost at home to San Diego State. Then they went out the next game and lost, got blown out right here in Vegas by UNLV. Gave up 75 and 80 points in those two back-to-back ball games. And that's not what Steve Alford's teams tend to do. So since those two losses, look at this New Mexico run. Look what they've done on the defensive end of the court. 5-0 straight up, 5-0 against the spread, 47 points per game allowed. That's over a five-game span. 32% shooting allowed during that span. And they're plus 63 on the boards. It's been absolutely dominant New Mexico basketball over the last 2.5 weeks. And that is what playing with ferocious intensity really means.
So you're going to see an intense matchup there. But on one of your side TVs, you may already have a winner cash by then. People always say, when is the best time to get on a trend? We'll tell you when it's 0-0. Start the trend. We think we can do that with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So for play of the daytime, we're going to revisit the Insider Six-Pack talk about the Cleveland-Indiana matchup and look to play over the total here. Not only Irving back now, Daniel Gibson has played terrific his first three games back. Ramon Sessions, he's been terrific. You've got three guys that can all play the one or the two on offense. You can push the pace the entire 48 minutes, and you need to, because without Anderson Varejão, your defense may be as weak as any in the NBA. Keeping in mind, too, that while Danny Granger is out for the Pacers, he's shooting 37.5% this year. You really don't lose much with him being out. Let's get ahead of the curve. Start playing the Cavaliers over starting tonight.
And, of course, Dave wanted to deliver that POD because he didn't want me to say over the total. But I had to say it once. That's right. Pacers, Cavs over the total. That's our play of the day for Wednesday. And that's going to wrap it up for today's edition of Vegas Sports Day. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. For Malinsky, I'm Savransky. Enjoy the games. Good luck.